Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Let's lift our hands to the Lord again. Hallelujah. And thank him for what he's doing. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus.
Glory to God. Glory.
Hallelujah. 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 Standing on, oh, you can be seated. Standing on the street alone, a man without a name, freezing in the cold, desperate for a change. What will he find? He disappears into the night, like the wind passing by. He slips away so easily, and I never notice why. I'm busy wasting time. And they're here today, but they're gone tomorrow. We live in peace, they die in sorrow. But from the ghetto to the mansion, young and old, they need the answer. But while the world is busy wasting lives, I'm busy wasting time. She sits behind the desk on her phone, with tears in her eyes, while the voice on the other end is just feeding her more lies. She begins to cry. Tonight she'll hang up on life, cause she's tired of the fight. And she slips away so easily, and I never notice why. I'm busy wasting time. And they're here today, but they're gone tomorrow. We live in peace, and they die in sorrow. But from the ghetto to the mansion, young and old, they need the answer. But while the world is busy wasting lives, I'm busy wasting time. He was young and given all he had, be the best that he could be. But no matter how he achieved, mom and dad were never pleased. His good was always denied. So now, years behind the prison bars, it changed this young man's heart. You won't find a smile on his face. Oh, my Lord, it's just another case of too much wasted time. And they're here today, but they're gone tomorrow. We live in peace, and they die in sorrow. But from the ghetto to the mansion, young and old, they need the answer. But while the world is busy wasting lives, I'm busy wasting time. He was young and given all he had, be the best that he could be. But no matter how he achieved, Mom and Dad were never pleased. His good always denied. So now years behind the prison bars have changed this young man's heart. You won't find a smile on his face. Oh, my Lord, it's just another case of too much wasted time. And they're here today, gone tomorrow. We live in peace, and they die in sorrow. But from the ghetto to the mansion, young and old, they need the answer. And while the world is busy wasting lives, I'm busy wasting time. So I'm gonna reach them, no matter where they have been, how much they have sinned. I'm gonna be their friend. So Lord, forgive me for being so blind, that while the world was busy wasting lives, I was busy wasting time. So I'll reach them, no matter where they have been, how much they've sinned. I'm gonna be their friend. So Lord, forgive me for being so blind, that while the world was busy wasting lives, I'm no longer wasting time.
Amen, amen. Aren't you glad somebody wasn't wasting time the day you came to God?
Hallelujah.
Why don't we stand tonight? And let's entertain his presence just again, as you already have been for quite some time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I found myself writing today on the plane by the inspiration of the Spirit, things that just began to flow from my own heartbeat. And it was somewhat a peculiar approach. But I started asking the question, when did the dream stop dancing? When did it lose its motion and its power and its gracefulness? And it was like I could see a dancer, polished shoes, elegant attire, gracefulness, moving, energetic, youthful face, no wrinkles, gleaming eyes, boundless desire, a dream, fresh, ready, aiming, nothing in its way, nothing deemed impossible. And then it's like it went to the next pose, and I could see the dream. It was weary. It didn't dance now. It staggered somewhere down the lonely, forgotten halls of the heart, unable to find attendance to the very one that gave it its birth in the very beginning, you and me. Things that God speaks to us, and they become more than fantasies, because fantasies are based on virtual realities. Faith is not. Faith is based on that which created the foundation of the world. Praise God. I talked last week about how Ehud went into the chamber of the king and thrust that 18-inch dagger into his fat belly until the dirt came out. And the thing that he uttered into his ear before he did that was, I have a message from God. The message from God in your life, in your spirit, is the real dream. That's the dream that must dance, that must live. Maybe it is akin to the figure of David dancing before the Ark of the Covenant with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Without any care about the perception of men, he didn't care about his position in society. He laid politics aside. He laid government sovereignty aside. And he said, in the presence of God, I am nothing more than a servant. And he danced. And that's the way your dream is, a God-given dream, a heavenly spoken word. It needs to dance in your spirit tonight. And if it stopped dancing and is staggering, if it's lost its zest and its zeal, if it has become a mirage instead of an oasis, you need to give it life again. And you need to say, that thing that God spoke into me is alive, it is real, and my destiny is not forgotten. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Be seated for a few moments. See, Ehud said, I have a message from God. Now, you can get a message from man and be inspired, but that doesn't mean it's divine. People every day, athletes, go to great feats. Medical sciences discover something new, accumulated on the knowledge that they have been gathering for years and years and centuries, and read this book and then write another one and stack that one on top of the ones that have already been written. And then somebody else comes along and reads all of the text and analyzes all of the studies and theories that have been given. And then they come up with something new. There's a new diet pill out every few days, a new vitamin that will do this for you, a new self-help trick that will get you that million by tomorrow. Yeah. Knowledge, words of men that will bring inspiration, but they're not divine. And there are words even of the past, words from the grave that will inspire you. When you think about all the great authors, most of the best authors are ones that are dead, whose posthumous works go on to great infamy, even to better or greater glory than in the lifetime of the writer. But even that is not refined enough to match the power of the Word of God. Because when you get a message from God, more than just from a man, or more than just from a system, or more than from a few friends and family members, when you get a word from God, it is both inspiring, it is inviting, it is divine. It is the very power that sprinkled stars in the imagination of God out of the salt on the black blankets of night, and suddenly were transformed into glimmering constellations that we see every night. That is the power of the Word, the very Word of God that created foundations and caused the earth to move on an invisible axis and caused the planets to stay in their orbit around the sun in perfect order. The Bible said that even the worlds are upheld by the Word of God. That is what I stand on tonight. That is the driving force of my spirit. That is why I get on an airplane and leave my family for days at a time to seek and follow after the call of God. It is more than just to be here tonight for a service and a paycheck, but to fulfill a divine destiny and to come into connection with this church in the perfect timing of the Spirit. God wants to give you a word that will carry you through, that will take you through the next cycle, through the next storm, through the next hour of struggle, onto the next battlefield, that when the blood is spilled and the swords are clasped and the shields are dropped, you are standing on the other side of that battlefield, blessed by the Spirit of God, knowing that He kept you. If you feel that way tonight, you ought to rise up in faith. Say, God, I need a word from you. I need a word from you. I need more than just temporary inspiration. I need more than momentary satisfaction. I need more than mediocre religion. I need more than just formality that I've even learned in the Pentecostal protocol of this church. I know how to shout. I know how to dance. I know how to run. But is the fire of true passion still kindled like it was the first time I stood beneath the limbs of that old rugged cross? Am I still full of the zeal that drives me to the will of God like the very first hour when he breathed into my spirit and quickened me out of the deadness of this world to a destiny that was bigger than I could even dream? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's lift our hands and love him right now in Jesus' name. Come on, what dream is dead? What dream is weary in you? What promise has withered up? Come on, what branch looks to be dead and rotted that needs to be alive again? The roots are not dead. The roots are not dead. Stop looking at the symptoms and get back to the source of the supernatural. Get your eyes off the circumstances. Put them back on the sovereignty of God and say, God, I know that you can still calm the stormy sea. I know that you can still dissipate the black clouds of the tempest. I know that you can still erase the lightning streaks in the night of my terror. You can bring me to the dawn of something better, something greater, something bigger, something profound in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's love him. Let's lift our hands and praise him. In the name of Jesus. This is about the time when people ought to be praying in the Holy Ghost. You ought to be praying in tongues right now. Praying in the Spirit. Building up your most holy faith. What word is God trying to put into you tonight, August the 13th, on this Saturday night, when a lot of folks are still trying to get back from Ohio and others are gone out of town on vacation? But we are gathered here not by arbitrary means, but by the divine appointment of Almighty God. We are not gathered together accidentally tonight. God has a specific word in the timing of this church. I want to hear it. I want to be in it. I want to be a part of it in the name of Jesus. What would God choose tonight to unlock that has been barred from this people? What would God finally give us in the spirit tonight that would be the password of liberty to numerous captives that have yet to be reached? I thank God for every drive, but ambition is not the same as anointing. Men can do things by ambition, but when God puts his finger of anointing in a timing of a church, it doesn't matter who speaks for it or against it. It will come to pass. There is an anointing that is settling upon this church. There is a destiny for which you were designed decades ago. God, when he put seeds, even of racial strife, that must growing out of the grounds of Birmingham 40 and 50 years ago, he knew that a church would rise up in this city with a multicultural manifestation, breaking down walls of prejudice and bringing people of all colors. And I'm not just talking about black and white. I'm talking about Asian cultures. I'm talking about other African nations. I'm talking about Filipinos in your city that need to be reached. I'm talking about people in your neighborhood whose accents you can barely understand, but you see the hunger in their eyes. You feel their desire calling out to somebody who's got something better than what they have. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I'm talking about people that can get into drug rehab centers. I'm talking about folks walking into prisons. I'm not talking about those who have been
the assumed ones to do it. I'm talking about the least expected people in this house tonight rising up in the Holy Ghost to do a work for God that others would have absolutely wagged their heads in disbelief years ago. To see where you are now, a reflection of the power of God walking in your city. Let's talk to him in Jesus' name. It's in a service like this when I'm feeling what I feel. If I can get one or two people to catch what I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost tonight. In the name of Jesus, God, stir us up tonight in the spirit. Stir us. Somebody ought to be crying out, God, use me. You might be the one teaching several Bible studies, or maybe you're not teaching any yet. From that one to everyone else in between, get a spirit of desire in your gut tonight that burns a hole in your doubt and leaks out the power of God and a boldness in your testimony that cannot be silent, that can no longer be muted on your job. You've got to go over and tell that one that just got divorced, hey, I've got an answer to your problem. I got a miracle for your misery. I've got a friend who can pick you up out of your trouble. Reach over and take somebody by the hand right now and lift it up. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. God. Ooh, hallelujah. Kande alala mokonde la mahashana kanaharene heshi. Kinana yatori anala na yokomana mohoshane heya. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hateka mahano no hoshiki nehe ariana hohonama. Sina ketene aro no hoshate na hakia tahai. Hora maya shana na kete ya hako mo hoshane hete ki na hamai. Sina no no horoto homa na hashiki. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. God speaks in a voice. What follows that voice is a vision. The proverbial writing, without a vision, the people perish. We understand that vision to be more than just something fantastical, something to build up the ego of man. It's not just dreams of flesh. The American dream. I'm not talking about that dream. A house and a car and a good paying job and how much money you're going to put away in retirement. The greatest men and women of God had nothing to their name when they died. They put it all into the kingdom of God. And I'm not just talking about preachers. I'm talking about people that sat in the pew. People that pour themselves out. That gave more than they took. We're in a generation that takes more than they give. Prima donnas and divas and folks that want to get up on a stage and be seen, who have no sacrifice. They want the ticker tape parade and they've never been to war. It still counts to God if you have character. And God, can you believe this? God is reaching for men and women in this hour who have character, who have not signed their names on the dotted line of a devil's contract, who will tell them, I'll give you whatever you want if you'll follow after a permissive doctrine. The Church of the Living God was not born in a permissive atmosphere. It was born of a promise. Just because Ishmael is being blessed doesn't mean he's the promise. Just because somebody down the street might look like they're getting by with it and gaining more, the story's not over. You can't read it halfway through the chapter. You got to finish it to the close of the book. God is not going to take the gifts that are meant for his bride and spend them on the harlot. But I feel something in the Holy Ghost here tonight. God, speak to us. Come on. I need some prayer warriors. I know you know how to shout and dance. I need some folks to get up on your feet and lift your voice in intercession tonight. Get in the Holy Ghost. We're in some kind of spiritual zone and atmosphere here tonight. God, ready to break something, unveil something, reveal some prince of darkness that's had a hold and a grip on the throat of the next dimension of revival. God, let it flow tonight. Let whatever dam that has been built against your body, let it break by the power of the Spirit of God tonight. That raging momentum of the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name. Jesus. Tiananaya Toniana Nikia Tananaya Rono Shine, Niki and Anaya Sunanotea. Komanokoneaki Ashikania Talanoya Shiki and the Haya Shanana Kataya Naroso Homohosha Haya and the Haikia. The Bible said, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. We know there was a son of the bondwoman. We know that Ishmael would become a great prince and would be very prosperous. But prosperity does not equate to the fulfillment of a promise. If dollar signs were the indicators of God's true approval, then some of the greatest men ever used in the Bible and in our contemporary times would be X'd out of it. Thank you, Jesus. Let's lift him up again in the name of Jesus. There has been severe conflict for decades. It's been more than just decades. It's been centuries, thousands of years between the Arabs and the Jews, between the seed of Ishmael and the seed of Isaac. Now, if you're here tonight and you happen to be of some Arab background, I'm not preaching your damnation. I'm preaching the facts of the Bible. Because some of the greatest people used of God in our hour are those that used to be Muslim and they're now born again of water and the Spirit.
There are missionaries around the world that are of that physical seed. But it is an analogy tonight for us to understand that what goes on in the physical realm is truly more emphatically transpiring in the spiritual. Isaac has wrestled with Ishmael for a long time. And it's coming out. And there are spirits of darkness and demonic activities going on in terrorism because America has stood by the side of Israel to our own harm and danger, and yet to our even greater blessing, because he said, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." But the spiritual reflection of this tonight is the contention against the name of Jesus, and it's not going away. They don't mind you talking in tongues, and they don't mind you doing miracles, but when you start talking about the identity of baptism, when you start drawing a line of demarcation in your doctrine, and you say, "There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must..." Not might, not suggestive. Apostle Peter was not suggestive in the book of Acts. The Bible said he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. It was not a passive statement. It was full of the power and anointing of God, because the identity of the church and the apostolic timeline has always been connected to the name of Jesus. But just as Isaac and Ishmael are wrestling, so the people of the name and those who would try to do it by some other version of truth are wrestling in the spirit. You say, "Well, why is the Holy Ghost talking to us about this tonight?" Because you live in the Bible Belt and you are surrounded by religious dominance and denominations of all kinds. Not here to throw stones in condemnation, nor can we belittle anybody else's experience with God. But there are those that are hungry for truth. And while they are hungry for truth, the enemy of the church of the living God, that great deceiver, that serpent, that garden snake. Anyway, it's not just some little old green slithering thing that's harmless. This garden snake is full of the venom of apostasy. And if you let him mess with your mind and your family, he'll get you thinking that Jesus' name is no longer necessary. Praise God. But I wish you could feel what I feel. I feel like I am plugged in to something in the Holy Ghost tonight. Now, I preach all over the country. I'm in different churches. I've been in some of the what they call the great revival churches. I feel something tonight that I have felt in very few places. There are people in this room, your pastor and your family, his family to begin with, who have paid a price through the years, consistency, praying, and fasting. But there are others here tonight. You have prayed in your closet, and your loyalty to your pastor and his vision and his family has gone noted by God. Some of you here tonight have never even told this man the times that you have stood up for the kingdom of God and what God was doing in this church. You've walked out of rooms and got up from supper tables because the conversation was going down a wrong direction with family members that were backslid. And you rose up in the spirit because you said, "I will not be seduced by that spirit of Ishmael. And I will not let a demonic attitude of Cain or Korah rob me of the burning bush of Moses. I'm going with the man who's got the word of deliverance. I'm going through the Red Sea. I'm going through the wilderness, and I'm going all the way to the milk and the honey of God's divine manifestation and promised land." Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Lift your hands and love him for a moment in the name of Jesus. He said, "In Isaac shall thy seed," not pseudo success, not ideologies of man, nor religious constructions in the end time that compare and even resemble, but they are not remnants of the apostolic truth. Just because I come in here tonight and I put on a prayer show and a beanie cap and I start dancing around like a Jew doesn't make me a Jew physically. Now, I am a spiritual Jew, but it doesn't make me a Jew by race just because I dress like one, or because I might have some ringlets growing out the side of my head. No, no, no. I'm part German, part Irish, part Cherokee Indian, and I don't know what else. I hope it's the Holy Ghost that gets the rest of it, for sure. But do you understand what I'm saying? There are a lot of spirits in this hour that are going to come into this church, and they're going to be wolves in sheep's clothing, and they're going to try their best to imitate. Oh, God, help us. Lift your hands and talk to him in Jesus' name. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Do you remember in the book of Revelation, the Bible said, Mystery Babylon, mother of harlots, she was riding on a beast. The beast had 7 heads and 10 horns. In contrast to that, the church of the living God, the bride, has only 1 head, and that's Jesus Christ. When you've got 7 heads, you got 7 mouths. When you've got 7 mouths, you got 7 voices. And when you got 7 voices, you have 7 versions of truth. And that's the kind of doctrine folks want in this hour, who don't want to quit sinning. They just want to be permitted to acknowledge what they've done wrong, but not change what they've done wrong. And if they don't like what you're preaching, they'll go find a different version, because they've got 7 heads to choose from. And that's the spirit of the harlot church. But the church of the living God only has 1 head, 1 mouth, 1 voice, 1 word. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. He's got 1 church. 1 church. Now, I don't know who all's going to be in that church, but I know he's only got 1 church. And it's the church of the living God. And it's the church that he's coming back for when the rapture trumpet sounds. Not Ishmael. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. What, they've got greater numbers. Surely in the numbers there would be a significance and an importance. Even looking at the Arab nations that surround Israel, a little old parcel of ground, no bigger than the state of Massachusetts, and the whole world's fighting over it. Surrounded by nations bigger, the Arab nations' landmass covers more territory than the United States of America. Over 450 million to about 7 million Jews in the land of Palestine. They are outnumbered, but they've never been restricted, because in Isaac shall thy seed be called. There are people who are going to flash their numbers and their success in your face and tell you, well, if your church was so powerful, how come it's not like this one? Lift your hands to the Lord and pray in Jesus' name. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Of course, the figure of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the typology. It was in Isaac. in the name of Jesus. You just gotta, you gotta stick with Isaac. You gotta stay with the truth. Because when it's all said and done, truth is more productive than anything else. In the name of Jesus. Sarah, barren all those years, bondwomen around her, servants having babies, all kinds of children laughing, and they're cuddling and cooing over there, and they're burping this one over here on that shoulder, and that one out there, rolling out in the dust, and they're getting Abraham's affection left and right. But Sarah was going to be the mother of Isaac. Didn't matter how old to God, she was going to be a wrinkled phenomenon. Didn't matter. God reactivating what flesh had killed. That's what God does. Just about the time that the enemy thinks he's got everybody tricked, God will reach into a stable, into a barn, into a cave, bring a prophet, bring a Savior out of the darkness into the light, and the whole world is stunned. That's why when John the Baptist stepped on the scene, he was a shock to the society for sure, because he stood out there rugged looking. He was eating wild locusts and honey. The man, when he spoke, he was brash. He was straightforward. He was in your face. He was confrontational. He kicked over rocks and revealed vipers. He called hypocrites for what they were. He made the Sanhedrin squirm every time they came to hear him, because he was telling them the truth. This is a man that he would certainly not have been the one chosen on American Idol. He would not have been the one chosen by the religious committee to go represent Israel to the world. You don't have to be chosen by man. You have to be sent from God. And when John the Baptist showed up, he was a man that spoke the very heartbeat of God, the forerunner of the one who would come and heal the sick and raise the dead, open the blinded eyes, and bring hope to the lost. Because that's the way God does it. Just when it looked like the religious hopes of Israel were gone, here comes John. And the people flock to him by the thousands. And then here comes Jesus, the Messiah of the world. And then after his death, it was like, you know, he was one voice as the Messiah, but he's training disciples. When he dies, it's like, hey, we got rid of that voice. No, you didn't, because the Holy Ghost is coming, and you're going to have 120 voices of the Messiah, because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Jesus inside of every one of them. Now you got 120. Walking around, and then they're going to collide with 3,000. Because, see, that's how sound works. When you speak, what you speak, the vibrations of what you're doing, it collides with air particles in front of you, and then they collide with other air particles, until between the one that speaks and the one that's hearing it, there's a whole lot of collision going on. It's the same way in the Spirit. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When you speak a word of faith, it collides with darkness. It opens up territory of faith and miracles. And this is what you got 120 all of a sudden talking in tongues. That was Jesus talking through 120 different people. And then before the day was done, you got 3,000. Because it was just a faith collision going on everywhere. Boom, boom, that one run into that one. And then you got 3,000 going out and preaching. Ain't no telling where all they went. You got faith collisions going on everywhere. And then they tried to mute them. Don't you preach that name around here anymore. They beat them, put stripes on their back, lacerations, bleeding. And then as soon as they're let out of jail, they go right back to the street corner and they start speaking again. And there's more faith collisions going on. Because in Isaac shall thy seed be called. The truth cannot be stopped. This was God's divine plan. So then there's a Saul that rises up. And he starts killing the Christians and persecuting all those preaching in the name. But even Saul doesn't realize at this point that he's a part of God's divine plan. Because now the persecution is going to fragment them and make them get out of Jerusalem and go somewhere else and start preaching, preaching, preaching. It's just collision going on everywhere. You got Philip preaching to an Ethiopian eunuch out in the desert. Another faith collision. Then he goes back. He touches somebody. And he's preaching to an entire country that's going to be turned upside down, according to history, by the apostolic message of the book of Acts. What is God planning in this church that is so beyond comprehension? And it's not just your church. There are many churches around the country and the world that God is getting poised for the greatest demonstration that the world has ever seen. And folks are going to, their jaws are going to come unhinged, and their eyes are going to be big enough you could put an apple in them. Because they're going to say, where have these people been? Don't you know it was the same thing when John showed up? Where'd that man come from? Oh, he's been out in the wilderness for years. God's been preparing him. Just because you didn't know who he was didn't mean God didn't have a plan. Just because his name wasn't in the headlines every day and he wasn't on the television every morning and evening begging for money. Where's the Savior? Where's the Messiah? Just because you didn't know the little peasant girl named Mary didn't mean God didn't. You keep walking with God, and you keep teaching Bible studies, and you keep preaching the name, and you keep standing for truth. And remember this, everywhere you walk, you're representing not only this church and your pastor, you're representing Jesus. It's been hitting me lately. I was praying at God, like, forgive me for the times I've gotten aggravated to somebody in public. I was not a very good representation. Even though they were sarcastic, cynical, and they were on the puppet strings of a devil trying to provoke me, and yes, they did. You can do it too. You can go, yes, they did. I find myself praying, God, I want to live up to your name. What did you do with that name? The Bible said he poured himself out like a servant. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet he fashioned himself as a man, as a servant. He emptied himself so that a woman at the well could find hope again. So that lepers who would never find cleansing in this lifetime without a miracle got a miracle. Go show yourselves to the priest. Woman, where are those thine accusers? And the whimpering, the tear-streaked face, the matted, dirty, filthy state of the woman. She looks up and says, I have none. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That's what he did with his name. What am I doing with his name? In Isaac shall thy seed be called. If the church of the living God, if I'm a part of that, if I'm a part of the spiritual Isaac of this hour, I have great responsibility, and so do you. Let's lift our hands to the Lord in the name of Jesus. Ikaya makoshaniki nehiko makoshanaya. Mitoro motesia nahaya shohopataka. Jesus, 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 speak to us, Lord. Oh, precious God, precious God. There are going to be many, many things that look similar. Do you remember when Abraham and Lot separated from one another? The herdsmen began to strive, and then they finally got together, and, you know, there's Lot, got that pouty look on his face. Abraham being the compassionate man that he is. Not weak, but compassionate. Okay, Lot, I'm going to let you choose first. Boy, he smiles. Well, I'm going to go down here to, you know, I've surveyed all the land. I'm going down around Sodom. They got some of the best land. I'm telling you, we're going to be able to grow crops there. Whew, talk about a 401k plan. We're going to have it down there. Will you go ahead? You know why he chose that? The Bible said because it looked like the garden of the Lord. Like, he settled for a simile. I don't want a simile. Don't give me an imitation or something that's close to it. Something that resembles. You get that when you go according to what you see. But like Abraham, he didn't go by sight. Hey, God, what you gonna say about this? Where is your word gonna direct me? He waits for the word of God and God speaks to him. There's a lot of things that are gonna be similar to your experience. They're gonna cause you to scratch your head. They're gonna cause a lot of folks to get confused, dismayed, dissatisfied. Be careful. This is a word from the Holy Ghost to somebody here tonight. Be careful in your hour of discontentment, dissatisfaction, and debt that you don't fall for the trick of the similar. It's like those debt consolidation people that'll call you up on the phone. Hey, we got the plan for you. No, you don't. You just wanting to bind me. You're going to have friends. You're going to have spiritual companions all just all of a sudden show up in your hour of crisis. And they're going to say they got the same experience as you. And they don't. They don't. They're aliens. I'm not talking about Martians. I'm talking about they're truly foreigners from the real experience in God. Because there was only one Jesus on the cross. And the only way you get the blood that he shed applied to your life is through the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Stand with me if you would. Some of you here tonight, you're not going to... You're not going to catch what happened here tonight until a few weeks from now when you are in your greatest debt and discontentment and it finally dawns on you. God was warning me. God was putting a word and a shield in me, a protective coating of prophecy so that I wouldn't be penetrated by the arrows of deception in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, deliver us from arrogance. God, deliver us from religious pride. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you feel the Holy Ghost speaking to you about being a light to a different culture of people that are not your people, step out. Maybe there's somebody here tonight, God's been giving you a burden for a Korean family, a Filipino family. And these are just one. There's so many I'm sure I could name that don't come to me now. But it's a culture that's not yours. Maybe it's a Greek family, an Italian family. Huh? Maybe it's Nigerians. Huh? Hispanics, people that are not your people, but you feel God calling you to be a light to them. In the name of Jesus, I want you to come. I want you to come. Hallelujah. You want to be used tonight? Step out. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Holy Ghost. Yes, Holy Ghost. precious God, precious God. Itale me condele liando shate yara la rabo condre shia. I como no sheki anataya no shataya. Yela la la tokoro moho shande yara na. Oh, precious God. There's been contention in your family, on your job, over what was preached tonight. There has been this strong opposition to you. In fact, maybe some of you on your job can feel like there's a circle of friends under dark influence that are trying to get you out. If you feel that way tonight, if this is something that's really been intensifying, even, you know, maybe there's certain family members or friends that have been disagreeable, but lately it's really been intense. Raise your hand. Raise it. Just raise it up high. Raise it up. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's lift up both hands. Lift up both hands to the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, grant these people wisdom tonight, endurance tonight, spiritual stamina to finish the race. God, turn the tide of deception. Break up these little bands that have come together, these little clusters of deception. Break them up, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Yeshua. Yeshua.
Yes, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want to begin to pray what will happen to your adversaries, the same thing that happened when Jehoshaphat and his army went to battle, and they went with a praise and they didn't fight the conventional fight. And the Bible said that the inhabitants of Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir turned against one another. I want you to have faith that God's going to do that in the name of Jesus. And then out of that confusion can come conversion, because folks then become open to what they have been closed to in the name of Jesus. Let's thank him one more time tonight. Oh, I love you, Jesus. People getting baptized. Oh, Riyama Hashakondelele.